Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We have a special guest this morning. We have Lizzie, who's with us from the Lighthouse Project. I've heard about the Lighthouse Project for many years now, but not really known too much in detail about exactly what they do. So Lizzie is just going to be here this morning to share with us about what they get up to in Crawley. So over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be here this morning, so thank you for inviting me along. As Rohan said, my name is Lizzie, and I've been the project leader of the Lighthouse Project for a year now. And for those of you who don't know, the Lighthouse Project is a Christian charity that shares the Christian faith and values in schools. And the charity is actually 20 years old this year. And over those 20 years, the charity has led many assemblies and lunch clubs, as well as many other things in both primary and secondary schools. So the team is made up of myself and two primary school workers who do fantastic jobs. And we also have a team of around about 20 volunteers who give up their time to go into the schools in Crawley. So I just wanted to start off actually by sharing some facts about Crawley that you might not have known, and then share a bit about what we do and why we do it. So did you know that there are approximately 16,629 children between the ages of 5 to 17 within Crawley? That's a huge amount. And there are 26 primary schools and 7 secondary schools. So within this town, we have a lot of children and young people, and we have a lot of schools. And that creates a lot of opportunities. Does anybody want to take a guess at how many hours the average child spends in school throughout their lifetime? Anybody want to take a guess? Go on, be brave. It's like I'm in an assembly. No one wants to put their hand up. Well, the average primary school child spends 4,445 hours in school. And then secondary school is just under 5,000 hours. So that makes 9,443 hours in school. So in Crawley, we've got a lot of schools. We've got a lot of children and young people, and we've got them spending a lot of time in school. So that does create a lot of opportunity to minister and to witness to the children and young people. A recent survey asked young people, young adults that have gone through those 10,000 hours of school, about faith. And they came out with these statistics. They said that only 25% say that they do believe in God. 38% say that they definitely don't believe in God. Less than 10% attend a place of worship on a regular basis. That's not a church, that's just a place of worship. And 41% think that religion causes more harm than good. And I don't know about you, but when I see statistics like that, it saddens me. It really does make me feel sad. That there are a lot of young adults going through all those hours of school and thinking that God is irrelevant to them. Scripture Union did some research recently and discovered this shocking statistic. They discovered that 95% of children and young people are not in church. So we call ourselves a Christian country, but only 5% of children and young people are in church. So that is what the Lighthouse Project are about. We're about those 95% that are not in church. So the Lighthouse Project currently works in 18 primary schools and 5 secondary schools across Crawley. And we work within those schools doing various different things. Firstly, and probably what we're most known for, are our assemblies. And we present assemblies in all 18 primary schools and 2 secondary schools. And they're always good fun. They're always interactive. They're not like the average assembly that the children or young people would have. The primary assembly team are fantastic. They present Bible stories in a really fun way, but also really bringing about a serious message for the children to think about. And the secondary school assemblies are a lot more focused on issues that young people will really be struggling with. And then we seek to bring God into those issues. We have to be careful with what we say in schools. We have to make it very clear that it's from a Christian perspective and it's from a personal belief. But we are given freedom to bring a little bit of God into those issues. So these are just some of the subjects that we have covered over the last year. So the power of the tongue and the words. What does love actually mean? The importance of listening, managing stress, self-harm awareness, Easter, and teamwork. So those are just some of the issues that we talk about, and then we bring God into those issues as well. We also run lunch clubs. Lunch clubs are really fun, interactive spaces where young people can just have a safe space to be. We run 5 lunch clubs, 3 in primary and 2 in secondary. The primary lunch clubs are, they're full of games, Bible story, opportunity for the children to pray. And what I love about those clubs is that the children from a young age, not necessarily from a Christian background, are learning the freedom of praying and praying out loud. When we ask at the end of the club, right, who wants to pray, all their hands go up. So we have to leave a good time at the end to make sure they all get an opportunity to pray out loud at the end, which is just amazing. The secondary lunch clubs. So the one at Ifield Community College is a safe space for more vulnerable young people to come along. Some of them don't have many friends, so we seek to be a safe space for them to be, to build relationships. And then we have an opportunity at the end to discuss a question that they might have. The one at the Gatwick School is really, really exciting. That was started last term. And it was started because the head teacher asked us to provide a space for Christian young people. But these Christian young people, they are so enthusiastic about their faith. They want to share Jesus with their peers. And they're inviting their friends along. We've got a mixture of faiths in the group. And we're doing Bible studies. We're doing half an hour Bible studies with the young people. And they are loving it. So really, really pray for that group, because I really do feel like God's doing something within that group. As well as assemblies and lunch clubs, we run prayer spaces. Now, I don't know whether you've heard of prayer spaces before, but prayer spaces are where we go in and we transform a classroom-sized area into an interactive prayer space. So there's a number of different prayer stations all around the room, and the children and young people who may have never prayed before get an opportunity to experience prayer in a really interactive way. So the middle photo there shows probably the favourite prayer station, Fizzy Forgiveness, where the children get to drop a vitamin C tablet into some water, and you know it fizzes, and they get to watch the tablet dissolve as they're thinking about things that they either need forgiveness for or things that they need to forgive other people for. So this was a prayer space we did at Gossips Green Primary School, and we're hoping to do some more prayer spaces here at Holy Trinity School soon as well. We, after doing that one at Gossips Green, we got some amazing feedback from a parent who said that her 7-year-old daughter went home and straight away made her own prayer space. She got a blanket over the dining room table, put a little battery-operated candle in the tent that she'd made, and sat there in the quiet and prayed. And I just think that's amazing that we're encouraging young people and children to pray. We also do something called Easter Explored. And that's an interactive lesson for children, primary school. to go around different activities and learn about the Easter story. Now, what I found shocking is that when we went and asked primary school children, what do Christians celebrate at Easter? It took about 4 or 5 attempts around the room for us to get the answer. Now, I kind of just assumed that Easter and Christmas, children and young people still know what they're about. But actually, not many of them do. And so what the Lighthouse Project are trying to do, and we're doing this with Christmas as well, is giving children an experience, an interactive experience where they can discover what Easter and Christmas truly are about. So these are some photos of one we did at West Green Primary School. And we did one at St. Barnabas Church as well for Pound Hill. And they're just discovering Easter, but practically. So that's a really great thing. We also do something called It's Your Move, and that's a Scripture Union-led initiative, which is transition lessons for young people moving up to secondary school. So that's a tricky time for some young people. And so we want to be with them through the process. We want to equip them with what they need. We often talk to them about Joseph in the Old Testament and about how he went through change and how he managed change because he had a faith in God. So we talk about that with them. The Lighthouse Project has also recently started teaching relationship and sex education. That's because we saw a growing need of young people, particularly in secondary schools, not being equipped with what they need to make wise and healthy choices. So the material we use is from Assets UK, and they're a Christian-based charity that have brought out these resources called Esteem. And it's called Esteem because it addresses self-esteem first. It says that young people need to have a healthy self-esteem before they can make wise choices about relationships. And so that's what we're all about when we're teaching these lessons. So we answer those deep questions that young people might not be getting the answer to anywhere else. Questions like, what does it mean to have a healthy relationship? Am I ready for an intimate relationship? And is it worth waiting for? And although during these lessons we can't be explicitly Christian, we are able to share Christian values within that. So those are the things that we get up to during term time. But our work doesn't stop at the end of term. So this summer, we did a family fun day in Bewbush. I did have some photos to show you, but unfortunately we couldn't get them working. But we held a fun day at the Mill Pond Adventure Playground, and we invited the schools from Bewbush and Broadfield. And we just had such a fantastic day. We had 437 people come along from the local schools, and we had bouncy castle face paints, a free barbecue. We had a Christian magician who was there, who was showing the children magic tricks, but also bringing in God into those tricks and things. It was just a really great occasion. So you might be sitting there thinking, and I hope you're sitting there thinking, how can I get involved? I hope you're excited about what you've heard, and I hope you're sitting there thinking, you know, I want to do something. Well, you can. The first thing that I'd like you to think about getting involved with is something called Bake to Bless. Now, this is an initiative we started a year ago, and it works so well that we're trying to do it in every school in Crawley. Now, this is where we team up with local churches who just sign up to bake or to buy some cakes for their local school. So we then just take those cakes into the staff room. So the cakes are for the staff, to bless the staff. And we leave a little card there just saying which church they're from, and they're from the Lighthouse Project. And it's just a really good way of building relationships between the churches and the schools. So you're very local to a school, this one. So we thought it would be great if a team of you could commit to buying or baking some cakes And then we'll just bring them into the staff room and we'll just say, these cakes are here to bless you. Nothing else. So there is a sign-up sheet at the back if you'd like to get involved with that. If you leave your email address or your phone number, I'll then get in contact with a date and organise, you know, details with you. So you can get involved with that. I just would like to invite Rosemary. Rosemary is our chair of trustees, and she's just going to give you a few more ways in which you can get involved.
Well, I hope you've just got a flavour of what happens. It's really, really exciting. I'm one of the trustees, as Lizzie said, and it's a fantastic privilege to be a trustee of an organisation that's so important. Because Lizzie said that only 5% of children and young people go to church. Well, over a term, the Lighthouse Project communicates to and witnesses to 10,000 youngsters in Crawley. Isn't that a big, big responsibility? And last week I was at a church and a lady came up to me and she said, I became a Christian because of the Lighthouse Project, because of what my son heard when he was involved with the Lighthouse Project and then he wanted us to go to church. So we don't just impact on the youngsters. It's much, much wider. So how can you help us? Because I'm sure, as Lizzie said, you think this is great and I really would like to help. Three ways. We're in Holy Trinity School, so it's three ways. Prayer. It's so, so important, isn't it, to be praying that really, really firm foundation for our work. So we publish a newsletter termly, and that has prayer requests on it. And also, if you go onto our website, we regularly put prayer requests on there, I think, Lizzie, don't we? And also, I think there's a Facebook, whatever, which Lizzie knows all about, but I don't. So you can do all that sort of thing as well to keep in touch with the prayer requests. So it's prayer, and this Wednesday we actually have our termly prayer meeting at the Caris Centre, which is where we have our office, and that's at 4 o'clock, I think, Liz, isn't it? So everybody is welcome for that, and we use their prayer room at the Caris Centre. Also, another way is volunteering, because, you see, we're a charity. We've got three paid workers, but we do rely on volunteers. Volunteers to help out with assemblies, secondary or primary, help out with the lunch clubs, help out perhaps to do preparing for lunch clubs. Any other way of volunteering, Lizzie? That it? Come and talk to Lizzie. There's so many ways. There we are. We wouldn't refuse any offers. So it's through volunteering. And finally, it's financially, because we're a charity. We've been going for 20 years in Crawley, as Lizzie has said, and it's God's will that our work continues, and God has provided for us over those 20 years. So financially, you can support us with one-off gifts, with regular giving, and maybe perhaps as a church, if you feel this is something you'd like to commit to. This is what some of the churches in Crawley do. They help us by giving us regular contributions, which obviously helps, because we know we've got money coming in, but we do rely on God's providence for our work, and we have not been denied that. So we know this is work that God wants to continue in Crawley. So so thank you for listening, and I know that at the back there will be sheets for you that you can fill in to say, well, I'd like to support Lighthouse in these ways. And Lizzie, I know, will be around after the service, because I've actually got to go to my church after this, but Lizzie will be around after the service, and I know she'd love to talk to you about the work that we do and how exciting it is. Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. What a really, really important ministry. Really reaching out to the next generation and bringing the gospel to them where they are in schools is such an important ministry. And I think that's why I felt I needed to bring Lizzie in so that she could explain what she does. So let's really be supportive of that. There's information at the back. Speak to Lizzie after the meeting and she'll give you more information. And we'll have to have you back again at some point to share a bit more. Brilliant. Okay. So, this morning, God's given me something I need to share with you guys, and we're going to take communion at the end. And my tablet's decided it's not going to work. We'll take communion at the end to just respond to God. I have to do it off my phone. I'm not checking Facebook, don't worry, I'm going to have to use this. So, You know, I just really felt, like I said at the beginning of the meeting, that we're in a new season. And I felt God say to me, in this season, it's a season of really listening to him, of hearing his voice. I felt him kind of say that my people need to really listen to me more than ever before. They need to hear what I'm saying to them and giving them instruction in what to do. Rather than just kind of going along with what we think we should do, or what, you know, what our own plans are to do, or what other people's plans are for us to do, or whatever. It's, I feel like God's saying, you know, really hear my voice in this season. Hear what I'm saying to do. I think as Christians, we can often presume what we think God wants us to do. We can often kind of guess or see what other people are doing and decide, okay, I'm going to just go along and just do that. But there's something in it at this moment in time where God, I really believe God wants us to be listening kind of directly to his voice and hearing what he has to say. Right, we're working now. So, a story in the Bible I felt God lead me to kind of illustrate this. And then we'll go on to other scriptures, but it was the story of Mary and Martha. And if you can turn to Luke 10:38, you'll see the passage of scripture that I'm talking about. Now, I know many of you may have heard this scripture before and have read this story before, but you know, God showed me some bits inside this these verses that I've never seen before, that really just jumped out to me in regards to just listening to what he's saying to us to do. So Luke 10:38 says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. And so that's Luke 10:38 if you're still looking. So Martha heard about Jesus. She heard about this amazing guy who's doing all these miracles and, you know, casting out demons, raising people from the dead, walking on water, all that kind of stuff. And she decided to open up her home to him. So she maybe thought, you know what, he's coming round, so we'll put on some food and get the place kind of tidy and looking good. And I'll just prepare some stuff for him to come and eat and to come and chill out. And she just decided to get her house ready. So she was quite busy. And later on it says she was distracted. She was so busy. And it says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. So Martha kind of presumed. She thought, well, Jesus is coming around. I need to do all this stuff. I need to get busy doing all this stuff, making the house ready, getting food ready, etc. But it was a presumption. She kind of thought this is what Jesus would like. And she just got busy doing it. And she got a bit angry because her sister wasn't doing it. And she got into a bit of a, it says she was distracted. It seemed like she got into a bit of a state. She got worked up and she decided to tell Jesus what to do. It was interesting. I thought she actually told the Lord of all creation. She told Jesus that, God, can you do this? But can you tell my sister? So she's actually telling him what to do. That's funny, isn't it? But she was busy doing what she thought Jesus wanted her to do. But actually, it wasn't what Jesus wanted her to do. If you read on, it says in verse 41, it says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus said to her, you know, she was like, can you get my sister to help me out? And he was like, you know, Martha, you're worried, you're busy, distracted about all this stuff, but actually it's not important at all. What's important is what your sister's doing. And he kind of, you know, told her off a little bit and just corrected her. And I think sometimes we can do that. We can be busy, 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 and we can presume what we think God wants us to do. We can be thinking, right, we're serving God and we're doing this and we're doing that, or even just in our daily lives, you know, in the things that we feel we need to do, you know, I guess, I know we need to work, but there's things at work and there's things at home and there's things with family and there's all sorts of things we can get involved in and do and be busy doing. But actually, what is God asking us to do? You know, what is it, God, you actually want me to do with my time? Is there anything that I'm doing with my time that actually isn't that important? And I'm kind of busying myself doing stuff, but actually you don't really, it's not really, you want me to be over here doing something completely different. And, you know, this story, I like I said earlier, I believe God really just took me to show me, to communicate that, you know, this is a time where we need to be listening. Okay, God, what is it you do want me to do? What are you saying? And sometimes, and I'm even guilty of this, we can just get on the kind of hamster wheel, you get on this wheel and you just, life just becomes busy and you're just doing stuff. But actually, what is it we are actually doing? And is it bearing the fruit that God wants it to bear? Is it actually achieving anything that God wants it to achieve and God wants us to achieve? So Martha didn't actually know what God wanted from her. And we need to know in this season, we need to know what God wants from us. And you know, her reaction, it reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son, you know, left the father's home, went out, did his own thing, came back. And it reminds me of the prodigal son's brother, who became envious or jealous of his brother when he came back. So when his brother came back into his father's house and his father kind of put on this big feast for him, his other brother, who was at the house already and serving his father and doing whatever he needed to do faithfully, got really angry. So in Luke 15:25, it's and onwards, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes has come home, you kill the fatted calf for him. And then the father said, my son, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. And like the similarities I kind of draw from that with Martha is that the brother had everything that he could ever, his father said, you everything that belongs to me is yours. You could have done whatever you want to do. But he was kind of, the brother it sounded like he was just serving and just working, but he didn't have a great relationship with his father, because otherwise he could have asked his father for whatever he wanted and his father would have given it to him. But it sounds like he was just doing what he thought he just had to do. You know, I just have to work and I'm just working. And there's a slight disconnect there that we can fall into as well, where it's a representation of like religion. Religion is just doing what we think we have to do for God. That's religion. There's no relationship there. There's no connection there. There's no love there. We just do what we feel we need to do. And it can be a little bit kind of absent of connection, absent of love. And Martha was doing that. She was just doing what she thought she had to do. And she just got on and got busy. But actually, what God is looking for is that relationship. And that's what the other brother should have had. He should have had a closer and a loving relationship with his father. And he would have known that I could have whatever I want. I could have had the fat calf and had a party with my friends. But he just didn't have that relationship, so he didn't know that. And we need to make sure we don't fall into that trap of kind of living a religious life where we've got no real quality loving relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and we're just going about doing our own thing, when actually he wants us to have that closeness with him so that we know what his will is for us. We know that love that he has for us, and we know that what we're doing is actually what he wants us to do, not just what, you know, we feel we need to do. And in verse 41, back in the story of Mary and Martha, at the end of it, Jesus said, "But few things are needed, or indeed only one, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And other translations say, you know, one thing was required, one thing is needed. And that one thing was that she just sat at his feet and just listened to him. And that's relationship. That's a good picture of a relationship. And I want to just link that to Matthew 11:28, which says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, that's one thing. I think it kind of sums up relationship with Jesus. You know, how many of us want rest for our souls? How many of us, when we're weary and burdened, we need to find that rest? And Jesus is offering that to us. He's saying, "This is what I want to give to you." That's, you know, this is what the world needs. You know, everyone who's outside of the church, those 95% of young people, I mean, how many people in this world right now at this moment would love to have rest for their souls, have that rest, have that peace? And this is what Jesus is offering us. And I link that to that one thing is needed. You know, one thing is required. And Mary chose to kind of just to take his yoke upon her, to just rest in him and to learn from him, which the scripture says. And he says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You know, when we come to him, we just find that space, find some time to just sit with him, sit maybe with your Bible open and just in the Word, or with some worship music on, and just kind of meditate on the Word and listen to him, try to engage with him. That's where we find that rest for our souls. You know, the word yoke kind of means, I mean, a yoke, as some of you may know, is like something back in the olden days they used to put on animals to kind of keep two animals together as they were plowing a field, like a wooden kind of yoke over their necks. And a yoke just means to be attached, to be joined to be coupled with or teamed up with. You know, and I believe that God wants us to be attached. Jesus wants us to be attached to him. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, be attached to me, listen to me, learn from me, for my yoke is easy." So we're not talking about a heavy thing. Being attached to God is not a heavy thing. Mary kind of gives a good picture of that. It's not a heavy thing. It's just sitting at his feet and just listening to him, sitting with him, listening to him, worshiping him, you know, speaking to him. That's the easy yoke. And then what he asks us to do from that place, it's not burdensome. He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." It's not hard. And I think sometimes we can think the Christian life is hard, it's hard, it's hard. And I heard people say about it's hard, and can, you know, I can understand what people mean. But actually, when you're in a place of close relationship with him, he carries the burden for you. And it's a light burden. It's not a heavy burden. And actually, the closer you are to the Lord, he kind of works through you rather than you've got to do all the work. And some hard, you know, decisions that we may feel are hard are actually probably more about our flesh finding it hard, our soulishness finding it hard, our selfishness, you know, our self kind of self-centeredness finding it hard. But actually, really, when we're in that place with God, it's easy. It's light. It's easy. It's just like, okay, God, yeah, I'm just going to do that. And we just do it. So I wanted us to take communion this morning. And I want us to just receive like his easy yoke and his light burden. As we take communion, it kind of joins us to him in a fresh way. So we drink the blood or the Ribena and we take his body. And I want it to be like a fresh commitment that we make to join with him, a fresh commitment to listen to him, to just be joined again to him. So we're going to do that. If I could have the worship guys to come forward, please. Let it be again, as I was talking about last week, about devoting ourselves to God and dedicating ourselves to God. Let this be a kind of a fresh, as we're coming into a fresh season, it's a fresh devotion, a fresh sign of I'm dedicating my life to him in a fresh way. I'm devoting myself to him in a fresh way. I'm joining myself to him again in a fresh way. I'm receiving his blood. I'm receiving his body. If I could have the guys who are going to be serving the communion just up, please. Now, just something before we take communion, just one thing. Actually, Lizzie mentioned this and what she was saying. One thing I want us to do before we just step into this is, if there's anyone that you feel you need to forgive, and let's try and listen to the Lord right now. I just want you to just close your eyes for a second and just try and hear the Holy Spirit, and let him bring to your remembrance anyone that you need to forgive. I really felt that was something we needed to just make sure those channels were clear. If there's anyone that's offended us, that's upset us, that's been rude or unkind or mean or treated us badly, or any way in which we've taken offense from a situation or a person, or can be anything or anyone, just do business with God right now. Just ask him to forgive, well, you forgive that person, and ask him to forgive you for taking offense, for carrying any bitterness or resentment towards anyone. Just take a moment to do that before we take communion.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.